Well, good morning. As I mentioned, many of our people are up in on the White Mountain Apache Reservation serving at the McNary Church, along with 250 other young people and adults from Chinese churches all around the nation serving on the Indian reservations in Arizona. So please be praying for them. And I know a lot of people are gone on vacation for a four-day holiday because I keep getting their Facebook posts of where they're at and what they're doing. Many are in California. You know, a man was walking down a California beach one day, and as he's walking along the sand, he sees a old lamp, and he pulls it out of the sand, and he rubs it, and a genie pops out. And the genie says, you know, thank you for releasing me from my bondage. I will give you one wish. What wish do you want? The man thinks for a moment, and he says, I want to go to Hawaii, but I get air sick and I get car sick. So I wish for a highway from California to Hawaii. Well, the genie goes, well, that's almost an impossible wish. I mean, we have to get plans and permits and do an environmental study and all this. It's almost impossible. Is there another wish I could grant you? And the man says, well, okay, there is. I'm married, and a lot of times I just don't understand my wife. Sometimes she's happy, sometimes she's sad, there's no rhyme or reason. The man goes, I wish I could understand women. And then genie thinks for a second, he says, will that be a two-lane highway or a four-lane highway? If you were given one wish, what would it be? What would you wish for? What do you really want in your life? For the last 10 Sundays, we studied 10 questions that God asked us in the Old Testament. Now we're going to switch to 10 questions that Jesus asked us in the New Testament. The Old Testament questions all center around obedience to God. Are we obeying God's Word? In the New Testament, the questions center around our faithfulness to God. They are the same thing. Obedience and faithfulness to God's Word are the two sides of the same coin. Now, Jesus asks us these questions so that we will examine our faith. God wants us to grow in our Christian faith. They are recorded, these questions are recorded in the Bible so that we can read them and then we can answer those questions for ourselves. So let's turn in your outline, your sermon outline to John 1:35. The next day, John, talking about John the Baptist, was there again with his two disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, it says, behold, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked them, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. The 10th hour is probably about 10 a.m. in the morning. They went and they spent the day with them. And so it's amazing that John the Baptist has his two disciples. And we know one disciple was Andrew, the brother of Peter. The other disciple is believed to be John, the gospel writer. And he's talking with these two disciples and Jesus walks by and he says, behold, look, the Lamb of God. And he's pointing out Jesus. This intrigued his two disciples, and they started following Jesus, and Jesus turns around and says, what do you want? You know, why are you following me? What are you looking for is one of the translations. Now, what do you want is the first question Jesus asks us in the Gospels. What do you want? It's a deep question that causes us to explore what we want in life. What do we define as the meaning of life? What brings happiness to you and me? It depends on what you want. And so these two disciples call him Rabbi, a title of respect and honor. It means teacher. And they asked him, where are you staying? And it's a polite way of saying, we want to spend time with you to learn from you. Because our master, John the Baptist, says that you're the Lamb of God. And we want to learn from you. So it's a polite way of saying, we want to learn from you. So we look at our first fill-in. Jesus asked them what they want because your wants determine your direction. What you want in life determines the direction you are going in life. Next month, we are doing a family vacation to San Diego. And because we know we want to go there, we are making plans to get there. I already reserved a VRBO house. I already bought cheap tickets to San Diego or SeaWorld, because what we want determines our direction. The biggest problem in people's lives today is they don't know what they really want. And what they think they want is very confusing to them. They think that they know what they want and they sacrifice their money. They sacrifice their family. They sacrifice their integrity to get up, and they get it, but they end up being unsatisfied and unhappy. We have restless hearts today. We are constantly looking for someone or something that will make us happy, someone or something that will give us meaning in life, but we can't seem to find it. So we go nowhere in life because we don't know what we want. The reason for that, the first problem, is we think physical needs. When we think wants, we think that we only think about physical, what we can see in front of us. And maybe we have health problems, and we want healing. Maybe we want a relationship, and so we want someone in our life. When Jesus asked them, "What do you want?" He was forcing them to define their purposes and goals in life. And see, the problem is, most of our purposes and goals, our wants and desires, are selfish. They're very superficial. If you asked a young man, "What do you want in life?" A man might say, "I want to marry a supermodel." You know? You ask a young woman in life, "And what do you want in life?" She'll say, "I want to marry a Superman." Sorry, ladies, I'm already taken, just so you know. You know, and okay, don't moan, come on. My wife will say, "You can have them," so and so. You know, in Jesus' time, one of the number one wants in Jesus' time were people were hungry. They were starving. A lot of them didn't have enough food to eat every day. And it's interesting, I was watching news, and they're talking about hunger, and they don't call it hunger anymore. They call it food insecurity. I'm like, really? I mean, that's a politically correct terminology. I'm like, no, it's hunger. When you hunger, you're hungry. And so people in Jesus' time, their number one want was food. And so when Jesus fed 5,000 of them, they wanted to make him king, because Jesus could give them bread like Moses gave them bread. That one was one of their big needs. The second biggest need was the people wanted a Messiah. The people wanted a deliverer, a king who would come and deliver them from Roman occupation. They wanted to kick those Romans out of the nation of Israel. They wanted a king who would bring them back to the glory days. The glory days of King David, the military king. The glory days of King Solomon, that wise king that people respect and awe. Even after the resurrection, the apostles still wanted Jesus to lead them in revolt over the Romans. We see this in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Lord, you're amazing. We love you. You can heal. You can raise the dead. You came back to life. Is it now you're going to display your mighty power and restore the nation of Israel?" That's what they wanted. Isn't it interesting when John pointed out Jesus to the two disciples, he didn't say, "Look, the Lion of Judah," or "the mighty prophet of God." He didn't say, "Look, the Messiah." He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Because God knows what we need. And when God thinks about our needs, we think about physical needs. The next point says God thinks spiritual needs. God knows what we need is the Lamb of God. Ephesians 1:3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." God wants to make you spiritually rich. That's what he thinks about. And we think about physical, he's thinking about the spiritual. He wants to give you every spiritual blessing. See, if we are believers, that means we have a rich daddy. You know, we have a rich daddy who wants to spoil us. He wants to love us and spoil us spiritually. That's amazing. Even though we don't deserve anything, even though we're sinful and selfish, God loves us and he wants to bless us. So that means we need to discover what spiritual blessings we really want in our life. That means we need to get right with God and listen to our heart and connect our heart in spirit and truth to God's heart to know what He wants to give us. That means we need to take that inner spiritual journey with God to know what God wants and what we want. How do you do that? How do you discover what you want, what you really, really want in life? I know my grandson, Benjamin, I know what he wants because I told him, I asked him, what do you want for your birthday? And he always knows what he wants. And so he wants a, you know, this big toy and all this, and I found it and I bought it. And I can hardly wait to give it to him because I know he wants it and I want to give it to him and I want to be there when he opens that present. And that's how God is with us. He wants to give us spiritual blessings and he wants us to want. He wants to give us what we want, that spiritual blessing. So how do you figure out what you want in life? One way you can do that, especially if you're, you know, you're an adult now, you're moving on in life, one way to do that is to write your own eulogy. One way to do that is write your own eulogy. Imagine, you know, that you have passed away and you died and you could see a vision of your funeral. What would you want people to say about you? I mean, you sit down, what would you want people to say about you at your own funeral? And I challenge you to write it down. Be specific. Write it down. I'm not telling you to share it with anybody or anything. This is for your benefit. But you make sure what you write down, your eulogy, fulfills your deepest desires in life. I mean, think about it. How would you like to be remembered? Would you like to be remembered as someone who loved God deeply? Who loved people deeply? Or do you want to be remembered as someone who only loved themselves? Oh yeah, I know that guy. He only cared about himself. You want to be remembered as someone who had compassion for other people? Or do you want to be remembered as someone who could care less about anybody else? Do you want to be remembered as someone who loved life and cherished every moment, was grateful to God for it? Or do you want to be remembered as someone who complained all the time? See, this exercise is not about who you are today. It's about where you want to be and where you want God to take you. Where you want to be in the future. Where do you want God to take you in your life? Write it down because that's your goal. That's where you're going. Now, so we want physical needs. We need to rethink our thinking and think about spiritual needs, what God really wants to give us. The second point on our outline says that God wants to give you something. God has three gifts He wants to give you, and He will give it to you if you ask for it, if you really want it. And we see this in Luke 11, verse 9. But I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Note how the intensity increases, a desire increases with each step. First you are asking, but then you keep asking. And then maybe when you get a hint of where you want to go, you see a vision, you seek, and then you keep seeking. You don't just seek and give up, you keep seeking. And then when you reach that point, you discover what you really want, then you knock and you keep knocking. You knock until that door, what you really want, is open. This is the desire, the intensity of what God wants to give us and what He wants us to have, but we have to have that same intensity. So we're not talking about a passive desire. We're not talking about a whim or a hopeful wish. You know, you're not just window shopping. I don't know if anybody window shops anymore. You're not just scrolling through Amazon or online, hoping to catch something or catch your eye and think maybe that's what I want. God wants to give you three things, but you have to ask for them and accept them. The first one is eternal life. God wants to give you eternal life. John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. It is God's will of command, okay? The will of command means that you can choose to accept it or not, but that you have eternal life. God knows that we need salvation. That's why He sent His Son, the Lamb of God, to die on the cross for our sins, to pay our sin debt. That's why Jesus rose from the dead to give us eternal life. God says, I want to raise you on that last day and give you eternal life. God's will is that everyone believe in Jesus and receive eternal life. Someone asks you, what does God want from me? You say, God wants you to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and have eternal life. Everyone, God wants everyone to have this. Good people, bad people, rich people, poor people, educated, uneducated. God's will of command is that everyone receive eternal life. The Bible says that eternal life begins when we know God. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, begin that journey of knowing God. The second thing that God will give you, if you ask for it, is a meaningful life. See, it's not just eternal life. We don't just get a bus ticket to heaven. God wants to give us a meaningful life today on this earth. John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You look at today, it's like the devil is working hard because he wants to steal your joy, kill your dreams, destroy your hopes, destroy your relationship. That's what Satan wants, and he's doing a good job of it in this world today. But Jesus came to give you a rich and a satisfying life. He wants to give you a full and meaningful life. I am not talking about rich and material treasures. I'm talking about rich and relationships. And, you know, being rich in relationships makes your lives so rich. Having friends, having family, caring for people, having a loving relationship with God makes your life rich. Having family and friends makes your life so rich, and it gives you meaning in life. My small group has been off for the summer, which is a nice break for me, who teaches every Wednesday. But we finally got together this last Wednesday for a potluck fellowship, and I forgot how much I miss these guys. You know how much fun we have together, how we laugh, and half the time we spend teasing each other, I have to be honest. But it's with affection, you know, make fun of each other, poke fun at each other. But I remember that this relationship makes me rich. Relationships make us rich. God wants your life to matter in this world and the next. He wants you to have a full and meaningful life. He wants you to make an eternal difference. And this happens when you invest yourself, when you invest the spiritual blessings God has given you in other people. When you care about other people, you take your spiritual blessings and invest them in Him. So God wants to give you eternal life. God will give you a meaningful life. The third thing God wants to give you is the Holy Spirit. God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? See, this is what God really wants us to give us. The Holy Spirit connects us to God. The Holy Spirit enables us to know God and God's will. This is the true context of the phrase, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. This is the true context, because this is right after those passages, and God will give you the Holy Spirit. God wants to give it to you, but do you want it? A lot of people want to be Christians, but they don't want to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, as you know, I love fishing, and I have some of the best fishing equipment. In fact, I have two rods and reels that are really expensive. In fact, they cost more than my wife's wedding ring. But don't tell her that, because I never told her that. But I don't just let anybody use it. I mean, they're my pride and my joy. If you want to go fishing with me and I'll take you fishing, you don't know how to fish, I'll let you use that $10 reel I bought from Walmart. Or if my grandchildren want to go with me, I have rods that I've worn out and they're okay, but I don't use them much anymore. But if my grandchildren tell me, Dad or Grandpa, I want to learn how to fish. I want to be a good fisherman. You know, if they're really serious and they're passionate about fishing, I'll let them use my good rods. Because my good rods will make them better fishermen if they are serious. See, a lot of people think that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is just to make them feel good. I went to church today, and man, I must have been filled with the Holy Spirit because I'm happy. I feel good. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower your life. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to enlighten your mind. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to enable you to love and care about people, to live that good and godly life where you serve other people. See, God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to give you a meaningful life. And God wants to give you more and more of the Holy Spirit. But you have to want these things. God will give them. He promises He will give them. He will not deny them, but you have to really want these things in your life. See, Jesus turned around and saw these two, Andrew and John, following Him. And He says, come. Come and see. Come and stay and learn with Me. Come and serve others. Come and follow Me all the way to heaven. When I think about what I want in life, that's what I want. I want to know more of Jesus. I want to know more of God every day. I want to serve God by loving people and blessing their lives. I want to follow Jesus all the way to heaven. If that's my direction, if my goal is to take as many people with me as possible, that's where I'm going. That's how I'm going to align my life and glorify God. So let's go on to our next thought, which is, when do miracles happen? Number three says, when do miracles happen? Why is it when you look around, you see some believers are so faithful? Why is it that some believers are so faithful and others are not so faithful? Why is it looked at many are believing, are producing spiritual fruit, but then maybe your life is not bearing so much fruit? Are some people more talented? Did God give them more training? Well, the truth is, if I want to serve God and make a difference in someone's life, I need to understand two principles. The first one is this, that God's will aligns with our wants. When do miracles happen? It's when God's command, will of command, aligns with our wants. We see this in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, when you are delighted in the Lord, when you are pleasing God because of your relationship with Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. When you discover that your individual wants aligns with God's will, when they come together and they work together, it brings joy to you. That's when God does amazing things in your life. That's when you start making an impact on people's lives. That's when you see people get saved, people get baptized, people believe, people are broken free of their sin and selfishness. Look at this diagram. Imagine that we have, the world looks like this pretty much today. We have God's will, which we find in God's Word, and we have our lives and what we want. And this is how the world lives today. They don't know who God is. They don't follow God's Word, and so we do our own thing, and God does His own thing. And we're troubled, we're depressed, we're addicted to drugs and alcohol, we're all confused, and we're not happy. But what happens if we move closer to God? And let's go to our next slide, and our wants start matching up with God's will. You know? We start connecting to God, we start sharing some space with God, and we start understanding who God is and what His will is for our lives. Then we start learning about God. But how about this? We go to our next slide, and we, after walking with the Lord, after studying His Word and praying and walking with Him, we move so close so that our wants, what we want in life, is within the will of God. You imagine that? That's when your life is firing on all cylinders. That's when you're clicking with God. That's when things happen. You're on the highway to happiness at this point. You become like Jesus. You start making a difference in other people's lives because your will, your wants are within God's will. And you think about that today. Are you walking in the will of God? Are your wants matching up with God's will? See, you're not that far away. I'm not telling you to go to seminary or go on missions. You really don't have to change much in your life. I'm not telling you to get a new job or get a new boyfriend or girlfriend or anything. All you have to do is start changing your attitude. See, God is not far away. You are close to the will of God. God is just a heartbeat away. The Bible says that God is knocking on the door of your heart, wanting to fill your heart with His love. And when our hearts are filled with His love, our wants become His will. We just need to adjust our attitude just a little bit, just to change the thinking in our mind. They say that when the Apollo astronauts came back from the moon to Earth, every so often, they had to make a 2-degree adjustment. I mean, a 2-degree adjustment is nothing. But if they didn't do it every so often, they would end up millions of miles away from Earth. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We just need, every so often, we need to realign our mind and our heart with God. We just need to make a slight Confess that sin. Say, yes, God, I'll go. We just need to make that adjustment and we'll find ourselves closer and closer to God. That's when miracles happen, when your wants rely on God's will. That's when hearts are healed. That's when people break free of their hurts and their habits and their hang-ups. I worked with people who have been severely depressed or have problems. And it's amazing when they get it, when it clicks, that they know where God is, who God is, and what He wants, and aligns with what they want. That's when lives change. They discover the meaning of life. Are you there yet? Is your wants resting in the will of God? The second thing we need to do to make a difference is we need God's power to align with our passion. God's power aligns with our passion. What am I talking about? What do you enjoy doing? What is fun for you? What do you love doing? What is your hobby or your care and dreams? What are you passionate about? I know some of you like to go shopping. You know, you like to shop. Some of you like to read books. Some of you like to go to movies. Some of you like to sew. Some of you like to train dogs. Some of you love eating. That's the easiest one. Just find some non-believers and do it with them. See, you're not learning a new skill, right? You're not learning that. You're just taking your passion and letting God empower it and guide you. That's how you cultivate godly relationships with people in a simple and carefree way. So this past Wednesday, we had our small group potluck, and it was great. And I've been praying for this potluck because we have some new people in our potluck. And I'm trying to cultivate relationships, you know. And so we decided to play foosball because we have a foosball table in the building. And so we're playing and some of the new visitors are playing and afterwards they just had the greatest time ever playing foosball. You know, that stupid game. And I know when we're playing, I'm not making accusations, but some people cheated. I'm not going to name anybody over there that I see. You know, shaking the table every time I'm about to hit the ball in. But that's not what it was about. It's about laughing and loving people and making friends, cultivating relationships. We want to align God's power with our passion. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your new being, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that ye may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is the power of God. It's so great, so powerful, that when we ignite it, attach it to our passion, we can do amazing things. We can love people. God's love is powerful, and it will empower our passion to love people and spend time with them, share experiences. See, when we're trying to serve God, if we do it on our own power, we'll get tired, we'll get frustrated, we'll quit. But when God's love, when God's power is aligned with our passion, we will work harder. All right? We'll work harder. We will endure longer. We will give more of ourselves to cultivate godly relationships that lead people to Christ. We won't quit. We'll bring other people in to help us. We'll bring other small group friends or other Christians with us to help us. See, we just need to align with God. We need God's power to align with our passion. See, I haven't asked you to change anything. I haven't asked you to do something new. You just need to make yourself available. You just use what you have. I use my business experience all the time to help people. And so if I'm talking to people and things are going stale, and I'm trying to share the gospel and people don't want to talk about it, I will always talk, I'll just switch gears and say, you know, I used to be a CPA and tell them how God called me, you know, from being that to being a pastor. And 9 times out of 10, they want to ask me a tax question. Can I ask you a tax question? Yeah, no problem. And I'll answer that for them. I'll be generous and share it with them. God just wants us to use what we have to serve others. You just need to make yourself available to God. God, use me. Here I am, God. Send me. So today, I want to ask you, what do you want? What do you want in your life? If you're not sure about that, let me ask you this. Where do you want to be a year from now? Where do you want to be in your life? You wouldn't be the same Christian who's accomplished nothing this week and accomplished nothing next week, and a year from now, that's where you want to be? Or do you want to be someone, something that God's using? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? And it doesn't have to be spiritual things. Maybe it's a vocational. I want to graduate from school so I can use what God has taught me and be a Christian in this workplace, or I want to serve people in a certain way with the skills that God gave me. It's just that everything we do, it needs to be within God's will. So whether you're a CPA, a doctor, or an engineer, you're going to do it for God's glory. Where do you want to be? Write it down. Start praying for it. Maybe share it with your family or friends. Put it on your prayer list. Name names, because I have people I want to share the gospel with, and I put their names on my list. I'm thinking about them. I want to head in that direction when God gives me the timing to go share the gospel with them. Not too long ago, last week I was praying, God, I need to minister to somebody because I haven't ministered. It's kind of weird. Most pastors don't pray that. But I haven't served, ministered, and counseled anybody or shown your love to anybody in a while because I haven't done a funeral for a while or anything else. And I'm telling you, like the next day I get a text. Can you come visit my father? You know, can you come visit my father? He's in hospice. And I said, okay, I would like to visit sooner than hospice because, you know, by then they can't hear or something like that. And so I go, God, I want to visit this family. If I can make a difference in their lives, use me. Use me. I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to say. And it was a real blessing because I go and I talk with them and catch up and I start sharing with the man about being the gospel and how God loves him. And about halfway through, they stopped me and they said, oh, he already accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And the caretaker who was taking care of him shared the gospel before his dementia took too long. And he trusted in Christ. I go, oh, wow, that's even better. You know, I'm grateful that I was blessed. I wanted to be a blessing. I was blessed. Then I encouraged the family and on and on. Because we need to know where we're going so we can make a difference in somebody's life. You know, when I was 12 years old, I was going to church and doing my thing. And one day I realized that when I died, I wanted to go to heaven. I know I'm 12 years old. You don't think about that thing. But I'm like, I want to go to heaven. And so I changed my direction right then and there. I trusted in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I followed the Lord in water baptism within a month because I knew where I wanted to go. And if you're here today, do you want to go to heaven? Do you know that's a destination you want to go to? Do you know that you will go there? If not, you need to take the step today to trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Understand that you're a sinner separated from God, that you need Christ to forgive you of your sins. So just open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you all the way to heaven. I want you to take me there. And again, if you're here today and you're already a believer and you don't know where God wants you to serve, start praying about it. Asking God what God wants you to do, or come talk to me. Let's explore how to answer that question. What do you want? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you do love us and you saved us from our sins. You want to give us eternal life. You want to give us a meaningful life, and you want us to give us the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that everybody who's here today knows you as their Savior and Lord, that they believe in you and trust in you, and that they are moving closer to you, Lord, so that what they want in life matches your will for them. Father, there's someone here who does not know you. I pray that they trust in you today. Father, we want to follow you all the way to heaven and know you more and more every day. So use us, bless us for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song, and if I can encourage you or pray with you, please come forward.